Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. And this week's broadcast to me is so important because it's going to bring information about the Arab-Israeli conflict. It's going to bring information about who does the land belong to and how the United States of America, if we want to know blessings, we have to back Israel and we have to be against the dividing of God's land, the dividing of the city of Jerusalem, and certainly the dividing of what the world calls the West Bank. This week I am teaching out of a book which you have to have, The Mountains of Israel, The Bible and the West Bank, written by an English woman, Norma Archbold. We will get it to you for only $7. She points out that the mountains of Israel are, in the Bible calls them the mountains of Israel. They are exactly what the world, just almost exactly what the world calls the West Bank. Abraham was in the mountains of Israel, in the heart of the area sometimes referred to as the West Bank, when the Lord promised him the land. And so, yesterday we went through some of the promises and where they were made. And they were made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, he had other sons. Abraham had other sons by Keturah. He had six sons. He had Ishmael. But the promise for the land was given to Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, the Bible calls the Jews Jacob quite often. When it's talking about the natural flesh sons of Abraham, it will often call them Jacob. Why didn't he call him Abraham? Because Abraham had other sons. Why didn't he call him Isaac? Isaac had another son. But all Jacob's sons, all 12 sons of Jacob, became the 12 tribes of Israel. So the promise to Jacob was confirmed by God. I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, Jacob, I will give to you and your descendants. God promised the land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates, through Abraham and Isaac, to Jacob and his descendants. The Lord changed Jacob's name to Israel, and that's why he calls Israel today Jacob. Later in the Bible, Jacob's descendants were called in Hebrew Bnei Yisrael, or sons or children of Israel, or simply Israel. Jacob had 12 sons who established the tribes of Israel. The Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. Each Israeli tribe was given a portion of the land. You can find that in Joshua chapters 14 through 19. I have a little grandson. Maybe you heard him. I think it was December 21st. If you want to get in the archives, he's 4 years old. And he loves the production that was put on here by Sight and Sound Theater of The Life of Joseph. And so he saw it 6 times. I was with him 2 or 3 of those times. And when I saw that, it just said to me, Satan was trying to destroy Israel before it ever came to pass. He was trying to get those brothers and Joseph before they had a chance to become Israel. And through the 12 tribes of Israel, God's going to bring us the word. He's going to bring us the glory. He's going to bring us the Messiah. And so Satan's been fighting it all along. He's still fighting it now. Jacob had 12 sons who established the tribes of Israel. The Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. Each Israeli tribe was given a portion of the land. You can see that in Joshua chapters 14 through 19. The descendants of Judah, a son of Jacob and Leah, lived in the area called Judea, which includes Jerusalem, Hebron, Gaza, etc. See Joshua chapter 15. Today, the children of Israel are called Jewish. The English word Jewish comes from Judea or Judah. This would lead us to believe that only the descendants of Judah are Jewish. However, today in common English usage, all the descendants of Jacob are Jewish. For example, many people named Levin and Cohen are descendants of the Israeli tribe of Levi, not from Judah. But as language is concerned today, Levins and Cohens are Jewish. The tribes of Israel are no longer separate. Intermarriage has formed Jacob's descendants into one group called the Jewish people or Israel. Today, the names children of Israel and Jewish people are synonymous. The Bible refers to the children of Israel as Jewish in Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Jeremiah, Daniel, Zechariah, and in 13 books of the New Testament. A dependable promise, a dependable promise. As stated above, the promise, and I'm reading from Narma Archbold's book, The Mountains of Israel, The Bible and the West Bank. A dependable promise. As stated above, the promise of land to Abraham's descendants is unconditional. It is a promise between Jehovah, the Lord, and himself. In Abraham's time, when two people made a binding covenant, they cut animals in two and walked between the pieces. Both parties were bound by the agreement. Abraham asked how he could know that he would inherit the land. "How shall I know that I will inherit it?" Genesis 15:8. The Lord said to Abraham, "Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram." Abraham cut them in two and laid the halves opposite each other. But Abraham did not walk between the pieces. The Bible tells us that only Jehovah moved between the pieces. When the sun went down and it was dark, a smoking oven and a burning torch passed between the pieces. Only God was bound by the covenant. The promise was guaranteed by the Lord. Nothing was required of Abraham. Did the Lord change his mind when Israel sinned? No. He punished them and scattered them among the nations. Yet, says the Lord, for all that, when Israel is in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away to utterly destroy them and break my covenant with them, but I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. Leviticus 26:44-45. And after their punishment, God will, quote, "Take you, Israel, from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land." Ezekiel 36:24. The Lord scattered the descendants of Jacob among the nations, and he promised to bring them back to the land. The promise cannot be broken because Romans 11:29 says the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. To make sure that we understand this, God told us the same thing several times in the Bible. He said that his love for the Jewish people is as dependable as the sun, moon, and stars. And I'm going to read to you now from Jeremiah 31:35-37. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the laws of the moon and stars for a light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. In this scripture, God says, if you can look up and see the sun, if you can see the moon, if you can see stars, then there's still a nation of Israel in the earth. So folks, that means in the millennium, there will be a nation of Israel in the earth. Still going to be sun, moon, and stars. And that passage goes on. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. Well, of course, no one can measure what God said. There's no man on earth that can measure the foundations of the earth. They cannot measure it. They can't measure heaven above. So therefore, you can be assured that God has not cast off Israel. Norma Archbold writes, the Lord will keep his promise. Think of this. If God broke his promise to Israel, how could followers of Jesus be sure he would keep his promises to them? As prophesied in the Bible and recorded in history, the Lord scattered the Jewish people among the nations, leaving a tiny remnant in the land. Nearly 2,000 years later, they began to return to the land. In 1948, Israel became a Jewish state. In the miraculous Six-Day War in 1967, Jews returned to Judea and Samaria, the heart of the Promised Land. Believers in Jesus who know God's promises are encouraged when the Lord brings Jewish people back to the land. His faithfulness to Israel proves that he exists and that his promises can be trusted. The Lord is keeping his promise to the Jewish people. Ezekiel 11:17, I will gather you from the nations and bring you back from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you back the land of Israel again. The Lord's plan for his land. While the Lord has promised the land to the children of Israel as an inheritance, they are not free to give it or sell it to others permanently, because the land belongs to the Lord. The Lord said, "The land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine." Leviticus 25:23. In the year of Jubilee, the 50th year, the land was to be returned to the original owners. When land was sold, it could be held only until the Jubilee. Leviticus 25. In Ezekiel, the Lord reminded us that the land is his. He called it my land. He said, I have spoken in my burning jealousy against the rest of the nations and against all Edom, who gave my land to themselves as a possession. Ezekiel 36:5. Traditionally, the Lord's land, which he set aside for his special purpose nearly 4,000 years ago, has been called the Holy Land. In chapter 36 of Ezekiel, the Lord reveals his plan to resettle the Jewish people in the mountains of Israel. Keep in mind that the so-called West Bank and the mountains of Israel are nearly identical. When the Lord speaks of the mountains of Israel, he is referring to the so-called West Bank. We're going to get back to Norma Archbold's book tomorrow, right at this point, which we're on page 12. But you can have your very own copy of this book, The Mountains of Israel, The Bible and the West Bank. And I do suggest that you get it for professors, that you get it for your young people. Young people in college today, they're inundated with false teachings from the media, oftentimes from the professors in Middle Eastern studies. Folks, you don't want your children educated by that part and those untruths, but you want your children to know, your young people to know, and our future leaders, we need them to know and be educated to God's will for what the world calls the West Bank. So just call us at 1-800-972-3447, and for only $7, the book normally sells, we sell it for $10. Others may sell it for more, but we want everybody to have this book. And so you just call us, and we will send to you that book. Call us at 1-800-972-3447. We also are having at Collinsville, Oklahoma, a Revealing the Glory seminar, March 23rd through 26th. I'll be teaching it at a Glorious Church Fellowship, 915 North 19th Street in Collinsville, Oklahoma. You can call us here at 1-800-972-3447. We'll direct you to the church. You can find out more information. Shalom until tomorrow.